It's me again, Hank the Cow Dog. It was your typical spring day, nothing out of the ordinary. Calm, bright, a little on the warmish side, the air full of cotton from the cottonwood trees. We were up around the machine shed, as I recall, basking in the sun, whiling away the afternoon, and waiting for darkness to fall, at which time we would begin our night patrol. Since Loper and Sally Mae had left the ranch the day before on a mysterious trip to a place called Hospital, I had made the decision to double up on night patrol. Drover was over by the water well, engaged in a meaningless conversation with J.T. Cluck, the head rooster. Suddenly, he called.
Hank, come here and look at this thing and tell us what you think it is.
I responded to the call and studied the object before him. That's a rooster.
No, I mean this down here.
He pointed his nose to the ground. Oh. I looked down, sniffed it out, and studied the clues. That's dirt, Drover. Just common, ordinary dirt.
Yeah, I know, but is that some kind of track or print in the dirt?
Oh. I ran a more thorough search this time, and that's when I found the mysterious track. I raised up my head, slowly so as not to alarm anyone, and glanced over both shoulders to see if we were being watched. Where did you find this track?
Well, it was right there in the dirt.
That checks out. Who knows about it?
Just me and JT, I guess.
Question. Has anyone or anything passed by here in the last hour?
Well, just me and JT and a fly, a big noisy fly.
And therefore you think the fly left this track, is that what you're saying? Nice try, Drover. I saw the alleged fly, and I know he was big, but not big enough to leave tracks like this. I don't want to alarm anyone, but I should point out that this is one of the biggest tracks I've ever seen.
Yeah, I know. That's just what JT said when he found it. He thought maybe it was a bobcat track.
I gave the runt a withering glare. Number one, JT didn't find this track. I did.
Now just wait a darn minute.
I snapped at JT, relieved him of a few feathers, and sent him on his way. The last thing I needed was a noisy chicken around to disrupt my investigation, especially one that would try to hog some of the credit for my careful work. I turned back to Drover. Number two, you should disregard anything JT might have said about this track because chickens don't know beans about tracks. Number three, we haven't seen a bobcat on this ranch in years. Number four, this track was made by an exceptionally large boar coon. Number five, I'm betting he's still hiding on the ranch. And number six, our primary mission on tonight's patrol will be to search him out and throw him off the place before he gets into some serious mischief.
You mean?
Exactly. Prepare for combat, Drover. Catch all the sleep you can between now and dark. I have a feeling we'll need it. Drover sniffed at the track.
It sure doesn't look like a coon track to me.
Stick with what you do best, son. Sleep. I'll get you up at 2100 hours. At precisely 2100 hours, I awakened Drover and we began what turned out to be one of the most dangerous patrols of my career. It began in a fairly routine manner with us checking out the saddle shed, the medicine shed, the sick pen, the front lot, and the side lot. Nothing. And yet, maybe I have a sixth sense, a sixth sense, that is, about these things. A still, small voice that warns me when something isn't right. It was trying to warn me when I headed for the feed barn. We stopped in front of the door, and I dropped my voice to a whisper. Drover, my hunch tells me that our friend the coon is in the feed barn. Chances are that he has busted into a sack of horse feed, and he's eating the corn and molasses out of it. I'll go in first.
I hear that.
We'll hold you in reserve just outside the door. If things get bad, I may have to call you in. Come on, let's move out. I slipped up to the door. This is the one that's warped at the bottom, you might recall, which allowed me to wiggle the top half of my body inside without committing the bottom half. Once in that position, I did a scan and I wiggled outside again, leaned my back against the side of the shed, and laughed. I couldn't help it. It was just too good to be true. Drover watched me with a puzzled expression.
What's so funny?
You won't believe this. We have just been handed the best ornery prank of the year. You know who that is in there? Not a coon, Drover, but Pete the Barn Cat.
Pete, are you sure?
He must be looking for mice, see? He's got his front end on the ground and his hind end up in the air and his head between two bales of hay. He thinks he's all alone in the world, and when I go crashing in there and jump right in the middle of him, he'll think he's been attacked by a giant boar coon.
Sounds pretty good. If it's Pete.
Of course it's Pete. Don't you think I know the scent of a cat?
Yeah, but...
The place reeks of cat. Why, he couldn't smell any cattier if he'd been living in the wild for the last 6 months.
Hank!
Hush. The time has come. Stand by for a barrel of laughs, because I'm fixing to let the cat out of the bag.
Yeah, but which cat?
I slipped through the door again, all the way this time. A few arrows of moonlight were coming through the cracks in the roof, just enough so that I could make a visual confirmation of my original nosatory data. Everything checked out. We had us a cat cornered, fellers, and the fun was about to begin. I took a big gulp of air, leaped through the air, and yelled, "Watch out for the boar coon, Pete!" I had reached the apex of my dive and had begun my downward arc when I noticed... Pete's tail had been shortened. And come to think of it, his coat had changed colors. Tan with dark spots and, by George, he looked bigger than I. Real big, almost the size of a... Bobcat? Holy smokes, do you realize how big and tough bobcats are? They're terrible. I wouldn't jump on a bobcat for all the bones in Texas, and yet... I tried to make some mid-course corrections, began moving my front feet in a dog paddle mode, but it was too late. I straddled him, fellas, landed right in the middle of his back. You think a bobcat can't buck? Think again. He throwed an arch in his back and blew me right out of my rigging. I went straight up in the air, hit my head on a ceiling joist, and started back down. But before I hit the ground, this giant maniac of a cat slapped me across the mouth with a paw that was about the size of a T-bone steak. That sent me flying in a different direction, south this time, until I came to the south wall, at which point I came to a sudden stop and dropped in a heap on the floor. I was seeing stars and checkers and little pink elephants with umbrellas, but that didn't keep me from getting a real good look at that monster cat. Big, mean, ugly, ferocious. Your ordinary bobcat is about two or three times the size of your ordinary barn cat. This guy was two or three times the size of your ordinary bobcat. I'd seen him before at a distance. His name was Sinister the Bobcat. He was a cold-blooded professional killer with a rap sheet as long as your leg. And I had definitely made a big mistake. Drover, I don't want to alarm you, but at this moment I am trapped in the feed barn with a gigantic bobcat.
Oh my gosh, then JT was right about the tracks.
I wouldn't put it exactly that way, but the point is that our main column is surrounded. It's time to bring up the reserves. I heard the swish of something moving through the air at a high rate of speed. Then, silence. Drover? Drover! The runt had abandoned me. Sinister took a step in my direction, his long white teeth glowing in the darkness. Hi there, you're Sinister the Bobcat, I believe. We haven't met, but I... You probably won't believe this, but I came in here looking for a cousin of yours, Pete the, yes, sir, old Pete and I have been friends for, obviously you're not Pete, and I probably ought to be. He took another step towards me, and I could tell at a glance that he didn't want to talk about his kinfolks. Now, Sinister, I've always figured that there's a middle ground between surrender and annihilation, and if you'd care to discuss... Sinister wasn't a talker. I knew that the instant he knocked me back up into the rafters. Coming down, I tried to latch onto one of the ceiling joists, but couldn't quite hang on. I headed for the floor again, but never reached it because Sinister caught me under the chin with a roundhouse right that sent me flying south again. Only this one knocked me through the window. Thank goodness. There was an explosion of glass, and I woke up, draped over one of the lower branches of an elm tree. I climbed out of the tree and tested my wobbly legs. I still had all four of them. I glanced through the busted window and saw Sinister inside the feed barn, turning over bales of hay and looking for mice. He didn't even look tired, which kind of annoyed me. Sinister, you got off lucky this time, but next time... He made a move in my direction and I sold out. Didn't slow down until I limped up to the gas tanks. I found Drover hiding beneath his gunny sack bed. Drover, you'll be interested in knowing that, even without your help, I just suffered an incredible beating. He stuck his nose out the west side.
Well, I didn't think it would help for both of us to get beat up.
That's very noble of you, son, and I promise I won't forget this.
Thanks, Hank.
And the next time you need someone to come to your rescue, call a cat. I flopped down on my gunny sack. Everything hurt, especially my pride. For a dog, there is nothing to compare with the humiliation of being pounded by a sniveling cat. Even a big sniveling cat. I canceled the night patrol and went to sleep.